You sneeze one, two, or three times, normally it's out of your system. You cough one, two, or three times, and you want to cough three, four, five, six, seven, and eight more times. It just doesn't work the same. Amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We're jumping back a little bit. We got this message and two more out of the book of Proverbs. Things based on where it says, of the Lord. So we'll continue with this tonight. Yes. Now, Pastor Kenny asked prayer for my wife. She talked to a lung specialist and had a telemed appointment, and that's why they're following up on some different things with her. So she's just not improving, so just keep her in your prayers with that if you would. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. And what we're going to look at tonight is important in every Christian's life. And you need to understand as we look at this. Proverbs 3, verse 11, it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even a father, the son, in whom he delighteth. You see, that is, the Lord will chasten. And it says, the father in whom son he what? Delighteth. So many times people, they think of God's chastening, they think of God's correction from a negative standpoint. It's like, I've messed up and God's got to beat the snot out of me. That's not how that works. That's not how that works, okay? People, they hear chastening, they think of something fearful, they think of something bad. I don't know how many times I've had it said to me at points when I'd counsel with some teenagers who said, my parents, they don't love me. Look what they're doing, because they were being chastened. They were being disciplined by their parents. And then I've had other ones come back at about 24, 25, and they say, I wish my parents had loved me enough to chasten me. It could have saved me from so many heartaches and so many sorrows. So, you know, you have to look at that. The definition of chasten means to correct by punishment, to inflict pain for the purpose of reclaiming the offender, to afflict by other means, to purify errors or faults. See, so one of them is to purify errors or faults. We're not even talking something that is necessarily has even become sin in your life. Because you've got to understand, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure not chastening, then ye are illegitimate. And you got to remember this. You can't get away from this. You need to understand how that works. Okay? If you care about your children, you will chasten them. All you've got to do is to spend some time walking through Walmart to see where that's lacking in this world today. Okay? Go to any place where you see young people and parents together. So many of them, the children rule the parents. The parents don't train the children. That's why it says that before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a lawless generation. When kids used to have confusion about their identity, because that happens more than what you'd like to think, the parents would be the ones who keep it correct. All right? And now it's been taken from them, and now you're considered doing something wrong when you need to tell your child no. Because a child left to themselves bringeth their what? Mother to shame. Okay, so I want you to know, chastening sometimes, though it seems to be deleterious to you, it does have positive effects. If you don't know what the word I just said meant, look it up. I haven't said that in a while, so I thought I would, okay? Proverbs 19 and verse 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. I can remember having a conversation with my brother and my sister-in-law at one point. We were having children. They had children. Some of them are close to the same age. And she had listened to Dr. Spock, okay, back in the 60s. And guess what? He wanted you to negotiate and to try to explain to your children. How many of you ever tried to explain something to a child and they just don't understand? So they ask you why. So you try to give them more information and they ask you why. And you give them more information and they ask you why. And then you give more information and they go, I'm confused. Because you're asking them to think on a process that's above the ability and experience that they have to be able to handle it. Again, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Chastening is a positive thing in their life. And I know I never liked doing it. Any parent who likes doing it, something's wrong with your attitude. But you need to understand that it is very necessary. I never understood that when my father, and there was a sound in our house, and I've talked to him about before. We knew we were in trouble when you could hear the sound of the belt coming through the belt loops. All right? You hear, and everybody's going, is it me? 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 Okay. And we'd say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and didn't even mean it. Okay, just didn't want to deal with what was coming. And the problem is when you have a strong-willed child, their temperament can be stronger than your willingness. And that's why you chasten them and don't, like you said, betimes, and don't spare for his crying. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You cannot get away from that. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. We'll not tarry long tonight, hopefully. We're talking about the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Okay. Verse 15 of Proverbs 29 says, the rod and reproof give what? But a child left to himself bringeth his mother the shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy son. If you've trained your children right, you know what you won't need to do by the time they're 12, 13, 14, and 15? Use that same manner of correction. Because they will have learned that they are to respect you to start with. One of the biggest examples of being done the wrong way, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but with the Moleons, because it's Haitian society, that you do not discipline your children at all from birth until 5 years of age. They come up, I can remember Sono, we babysitting for them, and Sono would come up and take food off my plate when he wanted it. Walk around and take food, what he liked, food off his sister's plate when we were babysitting them, off my wife's plate. And when he got to my wife's plate, she says, don't you dare. And he goes, I want. And she'd go, I don't care. And she'd made special jello for him. It was a positive reward. And when he wouldn't listen, she went to the refrigerator, she took out his jello, and she said, say goodbye. It's a type of chastening. And he goes, no. So she scraped all the jello into the trash can. And Sonno, who was at, he's five. You got to remember that young man now is 6'10". Okay. He was just about Judy's height at 5 years of age. He sat there and tears started running down his face and he goes, goodbye, Jell-O-Wello. And then she said, now you go to bed, you don't eat till tomorrow morning. Do you know what he didn't do in our house while we babysat him any longer? Act like a little thug. Rude, not caring about anybody else. We didn't have the right to use other forms of correction. I will leave that alone. But we had the right to chase them in any way that we could. Because we watched them for 2.5 weeks while they were in Haiti. And I talked to William. He goes, Pass, that's short for pastor. Pass, that's what's wrong. All Haitians raise their children that way. They wait until they're five, and between five and six, then they try to beat all the will that's developed out of them. But by then, guess what? The pattern's been established wrong. So if you love him, you discipline. Again, our opening text, okay, that we read there is also further explained in Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to go there. I've already quoted some of it. Hebrews chapter 12. In your flesh, in your own will, in your own choices, you will choose to do wrong. You'll feed the flesh. You won't choose to do right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against what? You have to strive against it. It's easier to indulge than it is to resist. But the cost of indulging is much greater in a negative way than the pressure of resisting. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye be able to what? See, you're resisting it. You bear that. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Because you are, if you're saved, you're whose children? My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. There's positive chastening to correct you ahead of time, to teach you the right choice before it has to become heavy negative. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and then there's a comma, right? And it says, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know what that is? When the will of the child or the will of a person is greater to sin than they are and they're willing to submit to God, the punishment becomes or the discipline becomes more punitive. You can't get away from it. That's what God does. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you his sons. And whom is the son whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof what? All are partakers. Then ye are bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not God's child. If no disciplining from God comes when your sinful behavior continues, then guess what? You better check who you are in Christ. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, and shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily they for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It's not fun for the parent, and it's not fun for the one being chastened, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Too many children today don't get enough exercise from their parents. That's the way it is. Verse 5 says, don't despise God's chastening. Verse 6 says, the Lord chastens out of love. The same way a parent will chasten out of love. If you're more concerned with that your kids like you than you are training them and raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, then you've made it about you and not about the Lord, and definitely not about what's best for them. Verses 7 and 8 tell us that chastening is an earmark of sonship. Parents don't bother with other people's children. Donnie used to pick on me. He has a much better job. But I used to sit in Walmart. I'd buy a sub and I'd sit down at the thing and I'd just watch people in Walmart. Okay? I can remember when we used to take my kids. My kids were normal. My boys got in trouble like any other boys, okay? And they turn around, but they learned to say yes, sir, no, sir, and to learn to respect authority from other people. And if they did something wrong, I can remember time my wife had taken them out and they'd gone to one of the stores and they said something. And Judy said, "That's it. I told you no. One more word and I'm going to take you to the car to get a timeout." "No, Mommy, I'll be good." People in the line behind her at the checkout, because their kids like to pick stuff up off the shelf on the checkout. Because what do they put there? Candy. Okay. And she said, "No, but I want." "No. One more time, you're going to time out." "Yes, Mom." Lady and the lady behind her, behind Judy, two places back, said, "It is so nice to see your children so well behaved, and all you have to do is give them a timeout." And she goes, "Yeah, they don't appreciate timeouts. Ask me after the service what their timeout was, all right? I've told not to broadcast that type of stuff." Already know, already. Okay? Yet you need to do, if you don't love your kids, you won't discipline them. If you love them, you discipline them. I didn't say abuse them. I said discipline them. You know, it tells us in verse 10, God does the chastening to profit us, to protect us from the cost that sin will give us. And it's also to bring forth spiritual fruit in your life. Okay, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. "But preacher, we're the faithful ones. We're here in church on Wednesday." Yeah. And we all need repetition because it is the key of learning. Proverbs 23, verse 13. "Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with a rod," that's a good definition of a timeout. "If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from what?" See, you know what? Chase, the purpose of chastening is for correction and for deliverance. You're trying to deliver them from the cost of sin. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Do you know that? Change behavior from chastening delights the one who has to chasten them. Isn't that a blessing? Most parents would like to reward their children, not have to chasten them. The chastening brings about a changed behavior, so then you can bless them. You still with me? And I told you, chastening can have different levels. In conversations with the different men who have been trained in this church at different times, I know with Pastor Gipp, with Pastor Kenny at other times, you talk about dealing with when sin crops up within the church and what you have to deal with it. You deal with the chastening and the discipline on the lowest level as possible. Do you understand? There's things that happen in everybody's life not everybody else needs to know about. Sometimes you chasten somebody by giving them correction from what? God's word. And if their heart is truly repentant, you know what will happen? The change will take place. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The more public a problem becomes, the more public it has to be dealt with. I don't know about you, but you know what? You know what people like to do? They like to air other people's dirty laundry. I like to see clean laundry hung up. So you can point to that and say, "See how nice that looks?" 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 14. "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a what? Thou hast known what? Some corrective, pre preemptive chastening takes place when a parent takes the time to help their children memorize Scripture. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. For what you're learning. The teaching. That's what doctrine means. For reproof. What does that mean? Telling them what they're doing, what they've done is wrong according to God's word. That's reproving somebody. For correction. That's telling them how to what? To make it right and to do it right. And instruction in righteousness. After they have been chastened, after they've been shown the correct way, how to go forward with it so God can bless. That's the purpose of chastening. The single greatest method of chastening given by God without great pain is His Word. If you do not have devotions with your children, shame on you. If you do not make them read their Bible by themselves, shame on you. For whom the Lord loveth, He... If I'm saying something that is not taking place in your home, you don't answer to me. I'm telling you, God says His Word is given for things that cause chastening. I'm getting smiled at by two men right now. And I know I didn't know when I started this what it was going to be about, but it's Pastor Kenny and it's Lareth. It's Larry. As they're going through Redeeming Hope. Because you know what they're having to teach people to change something as adults? What I am saying right now. So that it doesn't cost them more than they want to give. Because in an adulthood, when there's no chastening, guess what happens? Broken homes, broken marriages, broken children, broken testimony, and broken churches. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And all God's people say, good night and God bless.